Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Meditation today is based upon words of the Apostle Paul as written in the book of Romans in the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here ends the text. In the name of Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, dear Christian friends, the story is told of the American attorney Henry Clay, who represented the state of Kentucky in the United States Senate and House of Representatives back in the early to mid-1800s. He was in debt to a Kentucky bank for the sum of $10,000. Some of his friends who knew about his financial situation secretly raised the cash that was needed to pay off Mr. Clay's debt. Sometime later, unbeknownst to what had happened, he visited his bank to discuss his large indebtedness. The bank representative startled him with the news, "Mr. Clay, your account is paid in full." "I don't understand. How can that be?" he said. "Well, you've got some very good friends. They paid your debt for you. You don't owe us a cent." With tears in his eyes, speechless, he walked home overwhelmed by the thought of having been delivered through the kindness of others from his crushing debt. This story has been used to illustrate the central truth of the Christian faith. During these 40 days of Lent, of which we're approaching the midpoint on our way to Easter, we are reminded, aren't we, about what our best friend Jesus did to pay our large sin debt against God. This morning we want to consider this wonderful Bible truth, and in particular, we want to consider why the blessings of Lent, of Christ's passion in our behalf, are so amazing, because they're so abundant, so undeserved, and they're all guaranteed. Now, last week, our sermon message was based on a text from the Bible book of Genesis. We heard the story of God testing the faith of the patriarch Abraham, how he instructed Abraham to take his dear son Isaac and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah And we talked about how the events that happened on Moriah were a picture of what was going to happen 2,000 years later on that other mountain outside Jerusalem called Calvary. This morning we want to view Mount Calvary again, but from a slightly different perspective. We want to look at it as being not in the future, but, of course, as it is in the past. And that's what Paul teaches us to do in our text. He is describing for us the blessings that we're privileged to enjoy as ransomed people of God, thanks to the sacrifice that happened on Calvary 2,000 years ago. The first couple of verses, he calls our attention to two of these special blessings. Paul says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Try to visualize, if you can, what your life would be like now and then later in eternity if the events of Calvary had never taken place, if Jesus had not completed the work his Father gave him as our Redeemer. We would then have no peace, no rest for our souls in the forgiveness of our sins. We'd be like Adam and Eve right after they fell into sin in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, before they were given the promise of a Savior, cowering for fear in the bushes and burdened with feelings of guilt. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear, for your hands are stained with blood and your fingers with guilt. That's how it would be. We would be objects of God's fiery anger and wrath. We would have no access. We'd be outsiders, people marginalized and cut off from God's family forever. But now, what are the blessings that have come to us through Lent or through the Passion of Jesus? Well, that relationship of peace with God, shattered through the fall into sin, has been repaired. We are no longer at odds with our God, but dear members of his family, people who have come into possession of free forgiveness for all of our sins through faith in the Savior, and also the Lord promising to provide us with all of our daily needs and to answer all of our cares and our worries with his fatherly love. Scripture that comes to mind in this connection is Christ's parable of the prodigal son. You're probably familiar with it. That son who, unhappy with being at home with his dad, asked for his inheritance money early. Soon afterward, he took off, traveled to a far land, wasted his inheritance money with reckless, immoral living, and later being in dire straits, coming to his senses, having to settle for the food of pigs. In repentance, he returned home, hoping that his father would just let him be a hired servant. His father saw him coming, ran out to meet him, threw his arms around him and kissed him, put a ring on his finger, nice robe for him to wear, and arranged a party at the family home to celebrate his lost son being found again. Jesus was picturing there for us, of course, our now privileged status as God's redeemed children, washed clean of our sins through repentance and faith in Christ. Wearing a robe of righteousness, we enjoy every blessing of God's family. Direct, unhindered access to our Father in prayer now and later on into his very presence. And another of the standout blessings that Paul highlights in our text, blessings of Lent, of Jesus' passion, is the joy that our Savior gives us in the troubles that we run into in life's path. Paul says, verse 3, not only do we possess peace with God and free access to God by faith, we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know we've been set free from our sins. God is our dear Father, and we are His dear children. Though the tent of our bodies, like the world around us, is decaying as a result of the fall into sin, our spirits are buoyed up because we know that a future glory is awaiting us, imaginable for its grandness. And that's what enables us not to sweat the little things, not let them get us down. Little things like bodily aches and pains and health problems and work setbacks and business reverses and global pandemics and any of a multitude of other snags and complications and hiccups that we encounter along our life's path. Also the troubles that we run into just because we want to be faithful Christians who are loyal to Jesus and His holy word. We know that through all such sufferings, tribulations, our Father is working good and positive things in our lives. Things like, and Paul mentioned several of them here, perseverance, the ability to cope, patiently endure, even in the most trying circumstances, character, as we learn to persevere and our faith passes test after test of trouble, the Lord enables us to become more and more like Christ, who passed through the greatest of troubles and sorrows for us on His way to glory. And then Paul says, suffering, perseverance, and character works to produce in God's people a greater and greater hope. Hope concerning that eternal future that awaits us, that instills in us the ability to weather the storms and works in us a more intense longing for not earthly things, but the things above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand and where we will one day be. All these blessings, my friends, blessings of our Savior's passion, are also amazing because, and Paul really underscores that for us here in our text, they're all undeserved. The peace we enjoy with God, the unhindered access we have to Him, the ability He gives us as Christians to bear up under trials and see them as evidences of His love, are all ours by grace. Grace being undeserved love. Paul says here, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him. There was nothing that should have moved Him to want us as His own, to love us, to send His Son Jesus to rescue us. Not a spark of goodness, not a trace of beauty, not a sliver of merit did we possess. But He did all those things for us anyway. Maybe you heard the story of the Christian day school teacher, subject that she was presenting to her fourth grade class was English grammar, and the particular unit was on a study of pronouns, the use of pronouns. Towards the end of the class period, she called on one of her pupils named Amanda, sitting up in front. Amanda, would you get out your Bible and open up to the book of Isaiah? And I want you to read for the class verses 4 and 5. And as you read these two verses, I want you to stress with your voice all the pronouns that you come across. Little Amanda found her Bible on her desk, found a place in Isaiah chapter 53, started reading, showing very proudly she knew what a pronoun was. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of course, not only was her teacher presenting to her and the whole class a lesson in a fun way on what a pronoun is, but also reminding her students about God's grace. We were like sheep going astray, but God's Son took our place, our punishment, paid our big debt, so we might have a place in his family. Paul says in our text, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Amazing. Also, when we consider that the blessings of Lent, of our justification through Christ our Savior, are 100% guaranteed. The day is never going to arrive when God our Father will withdraw, revoke, repeal, or render these blessings void. Verses 8 to 10, Paul says, "If while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Paul's using simple logic, argument from the greater to the lesser. If God, our Heavenly Father, has gone to such lengths to provide for us, for our eternal peace, to restore that relationship that got broken, if he's gone through all the trouble and effort to change our status from being his hostile enemies to being his cherished children, could he now ever forget or renege on his promises? Someone saves you from a burning building, goes to the risk going in and getting you out, going to leave you on the street, cold, without anything to eat, no shelter. Well, they'll see to it. The eternal judge of all has declared us not guilty through Jesus, then certainly we will be spared from his wrath. And when that day arrives, when it dawns, the Lord returns, he will take us then into our eternal home to enjoy to the full all the blessings of his grace. Praise be to God our Father. Praise be to Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Till our arrival in the mansions Christ has gone to prepare, may our prayer be, "Jesus, lead thou on till our rest is won. Heavenly leader, still direct us, still support, control, protect us, till we safely stand in our fatherland. Amen." And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In me a clean heart. restore to me the joy of your salvation.